It's been more than a year since President Trump signed an executive order that was supposed to end his administration's policy of separating immigrant families at the U.S.-Mexico border. And yet, according to numbers from the Justice Department provided to the ACLU, immigration authorities have separated more than 900 children from their families in the year since the formal end to the family separation policy. The ACLU has filed a lawsuit to stop this. Immigration officials have cited a variety of reasons for the continued separations, ranging from petty criminal issues to a parent's HIV status. Beth Fertig is a senior reporter with WNYC, and she told us one father's story.
His name is Jose, and even though he really wanted us to use his full name, his girls are terrified. They don't want there to be any potential blowback for him or for them. So we're just going to call him Jose. And what he told me is that he and his family were threatened by police. We can't get into it more than that, in Honduras. And then they took some buses to the border in November of last year. And when they got to the border, like all migrants, they were picked up by Customs and Border Protection for crossing illegally and put in one of these very cold ice boxes, as the migrants called them, a hilera. It's a processing center. And they spent 3 days there, and then their dad was taken away. And the girls don't know why. They said it happened so quickly they couldn't say goodbye to him. But he firmly believes, and all the evidence we've obtained, is that he was taken away because he has HIV, and the government considered it a communicable disease.
Walk us through that. What are the rules regarding whether or not the government can separate a parent from a child at the border?
So last year, after the zero tolerance policy that caused so much concern around the country about parents being separated from children at the border and the awful images we saw, the Trump administration said it would stop doing that, and then it was ordered to stop doing that by a federal judge in California. However, family separations, taking a child away from a parent, is allowed and always has been if that parent is considered a danger to the child. So the judge left that as the exemption. In the past year, however, the ACLU has documented over 900 cases of parents being separated from children. And they say that the reasons they were given by the government do not amount to a real risk or danger to the child. You know, parents with minor criminal convictions, petty theft or trespassing, and they say that doesn't really meet the standard of a danger. And so what we did at WNYC is look into this case because a lot of people in the HIV community were very worried about what happened here, because HIV has not been considered a communicable disease since 2010 that would bar somebody from being admitted into the United States. And yet, from all the investigating that I've done, that seems to be exactly what happened.
So let's talk about the policy on HIV as it stands. I mean, people with HIV, as you mentioned, have been allowed to enter the United States since 2010. Do we understand more beyond why they separated Jose from his family?
So the ACLU was told that it was for a communicable disease, which they then determined was HIV upon speaking to the family. The kids are represented by an attorney in New York. His three daughters wound up in New York staying with relatives, which was his destination. And he was ultimately deported back to Honduras. And the news got out about this individual case. And a congressman from Maryland, Jamie Raskin, was part of a subcommittee hearing in Congress about family separations. He was asking Customs and Border Protection's chief of law enforcement operations, Brian Hastings, what's your policy with HIV? And if somebody, if a mother or father has HIV, is that enough to justify separation from their child? Hastings of Customs and Border Protection responded, it is. It's a communicable disease under the guidance. That caused a major outrage. And a few days later, Customs and Border Protection clarified. And according to what they told me, they said HIV is not grounds for separation. It does present additional considerations, however, that could affect how they move forward in the processing. So what they said was separations could be due to the potential requirement for hospitalization and whether it's in the best interest of the child to have that parent separated. So we never got a distinct, clear answer on what that policy is.
Do we know what happened to Jose while he was in detention, before he was deported back to Honduras?
He told me, and he told the lawyer who met with him briefly, that he did not get his HIV medications for 2 months. Apparently, when he got to the processing center. Customs and Border Protection found medication and said, what is this? And he, at first, he said that he lied to them. He told them it was for diabetes because he didn't want people to know his status. They tested the medications, which is what they do, and they said, oh, this is actually HIV. And then he was separated. So that's why he immediately believed that that was why. When he was taken to ICE detention, they never gave him back the medications. He said he had two bottles of two different medications that would have been enough to last him at least a month. But he said he kept asking for medication and he never got it. I'm told by doctors and Immigration Equality, which has seen cases like this, that this has happened before. It's not an isolated case if this is true, that they did not give him his medications. ICE, however, would not respond to my requests about it. He said he eventually was given and then he was deported because he failed to prove that he had a credible fear of returning back to Honduras.
You mentioned his daughters. They're in New York City now. What happens to them?
They are 13, 11, and 14, and they have relatives in New York, thankfully relatives who know them, who visited them over the years in Honduras. And they have an aunt who is going to ask to be their guardian. And through that, they can apply for a special status for young children, for kids, for minors who have been abused or neglected or abandoned that would allow them to get green cards eventually. So it's going to be a long process. It's going to take several years. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is they're not going to be able to see their dad until they get green cards and they can travel to Honduras. He can't come here. And they don't understand why their father was deported. They don't understand why HIV would be dangerous to them when they can't get it from him. And so it's been a very difficult, confusing journey for these kids. And what the aunt told me was that the oldest one says to her, everyone I loved, I've lost. These girls already lost their mom from HIV 6 years ago. And so their dad is all they have left. And the government took their dad away from them.
And we know that the ACLU has filed a federal lawsuit against the United States for the separation of these children from their families. Where does that stand?
Later this month, on September 20th, the ACLU will be going back to court in California to argue that these separations were not justified, that they violated the court order against it unless it was a dangerous situation. The government hasn't yet responded, but what they have told the press since the news of this came out is that they believe their duty is to protect children and that what they did was valid.
Beth Fertig is a senior reporter for WNYC. Beth, thanks so much for your reporting.
You're very welcome.